always record episode 17 with like a million people on this call.
Wow, look at that.
What the hell?
Did that work?
Yeah.
That worked.
Okay, I was having so much trouble adding you guys to the call, but now I see.
Okay, well, actually, now I see. I no longer see Violator Hellspawn, who I was just talking to. So you might want to try and call him, I guess. Is that possible?
Oh, I thought we're doing Violator on Thursday. He went in on this?
Yeah, well, I was just talking to him. He was on.
All right.
Oh,
this is an orgy for real.
For real.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus fuck. Look at all these
people. Will you leave Jesus out of it, for Christ's sake?
We're bringing the fucking devil in.
You guys brought the devil in already? Is there like an ceremony that I missed? You guys are talking to Captain Howdy.
This is going to be an interesting fight, who gets to be the devil. Justin Morgan always wears the Baphomet t-shirt. Violator always has...
Was that the French pronunciation there?
How would you pronounce that?
Baphomet.
I never met a Baphomet I didn't like.
Okay.
I would say I guess Baphomet. What was it on Final Fantasy?
Baphomet?
It was something similar in Final Fantasy VII, wasn't it?
The devil has to be French.
It's not actually, is that Greek, Baphomet? I always say Baphomet, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce
it's the corruption of Muhammad, come on.
Jason probably put
I wrote the fucking article, man.
What is it? It's not actually true, is it? What is Baphomet? I know that they do a whole thing with the gematria of Baphomet as if it was Hebrew, but I think it's Greek, isn't it?
No, it's the medieval Latin.
Oh, it's Latin.
It's just a stupid corruption of Muhammad.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, Muhammad is the devil.
Right.
I think it sounds as if you're saying Muhammad.
I think it's a synchronistic meaning in Baphomet is in like baptism and Metis is in like metric of like the baptism of knowledge and math has kind of been my...
It is French. They got the whole metric system over there. They don't know what a fucking quarter pounder is. Okay.
Royale with cheese.
that's been my kind of interpretation of it. And it was weird. I was trying to draw a painting on this piece of wood and I started out drawing a Baphomet and then I erased it. And then I started drawing like this geometric design and then erased it. And then I was looking up stuff about Baphomet. And then I was like, oh, it was drawing the same thing almost.
Supposedly in the Hebrew Atbash cipher, it's Sophia.
Right. That's what I was wondering. That was the weird connection I was tripping out on. Totally. Wisdom and Baphomet are the same gematria.
Yeah.
But that's if you spell it out in Hebrew, which
isn't
a Hebrew
word. Wait, is it gematria or gematria?
Gematria. It's gematria. I know I used to... There was a time when I thought it was gematria, but then I discussed it with the rabbi and he corrected me. So, it's not actually Hebrew, but if you were to write it out in Hebrew, that's how you get Sophia, which is funny in terms of a lot of the ideas floating around around Vanilla Sky with Sophia, him killing Sophia and can't kill Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Sophia killed him. How can he kill Sophia? Or she didn't kill him, but she took his faith. Yeah. Okay.
So, interesting. We have on the call right now, we are recording, so I think this is an awesome start here. Just a quick roll call. We have Douglas Bowles, Jason Barrera, Justin Morgan, David Plate, William Klaus, and Violator Hellspawn, Jeremy. How is everybody tonight? Don't answer all at once.
Good. We're all good.
Awesome.
I'm gravy.
I'm fucking drunk too, dude. I'm on the same tip. I did a spa. I did the fucking hot tub for like an hour, and now I'm drunk. So
get the fuck out of here. I just came from the health club. I was in the spa for an hour.
Far out. Look at
Am
that.
Am I on the wrong call here? What is this?
Yeah. You didn't get enough partying in at Burning Man that you got to keep on partying?
Keep on partying, bro.
No, I'm in crash mode for the most part, but I needed to cut loose tonight slightly.
I feel like I should catch up. Can we take a break so I can get some vodka flowing?
This is excellent.
I'll be right back. I'm just going to jump in my spa real fast.
And then right.
We do have hey, a house, so I'll take that later, actually.
I don't own a spa or anything. That would be in a level.
But nice. I do. That's the weird thing, David.
Do you?
Kind of.
Do you have a sauna or something? You lucky fucking bastard, dude. I wish I had a sauna. Okay, we're recording. I can't waste time with talking about bullshit.
You didn't know I was 1%, bro?
Doug has been in our hot tub over here when he came to the portal.
Are you recording a call from the spa, Justin?
Yeah, I have my laptop balanced precariously on the edge.
So
after it rains and there's enough like water collected in the gutter outside, I sometimes go out there for a little bit.
That's how the 99% goes to the spa.
Yeah. So one of the things I just want to put real quick at the front here, one of the reasons I wanted to have this call tonight was just kind of not only clear something up but then get to actually explore it, was Doug had been kicking this idea around for a while of this Book of Stars, this idea that, you know, of movie actors, the as above, so below, movie actors resonating with different archetypes from the Tarot, or Tarot.
John Lennon says tarot.
I don't say tarot. Now Alexis is calling in. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right, so one of the things we wanted to do here was, now we've added a woman to the orgy, now we can really call it that. So
hey.
Hey, Alexis. It's gonna get really confusing really fast. So just to say, so Doug was kicking around this idea of a Book of Stars, the idea of actors resonating with different archetypes from the Tarot. We had discussed this for a while, and I know Justin's discussed it with him, Jason's discussed it with him, we've all kind of kicked this idea around. As a kind of separate idea, I have the idea of just... because I see so many billboards around town here in New York, I had this idea that the movie posters themselves were tarot cards, and I wanted to do something playing with the posters. And when I set up this little tarot movie database earlier this week, it was really with the idea of it being focused on movie posters. And then Justin and Jason quickly added in a lot of just the actors and different scenes from the movie.
Well, I stuck to movie posters at first, but then you said that you were opening it up to just posting actors or whatever, and so then I just kind of went crazy.
Yeah, no, that's all good. But I wasn't really like, then someone fucked it up. I meant when you guys wanted to do it.
I fall back into old habits, you know? I just,
I didn't realize it was only movie posters, and I was adding all kinds of stuff, so you might could blame me. But I thought this was kind of the segue into the Book of Stars project.
Precise. That's how
I thought we were doing this all for Doug to realize his great dream.
Yes.
But then Doug is just like, who cares?
You guys may or may not be familiar with my video Tarot and Film on my Vimeo account, Vimeo/Violator. And I go into... Sorry, I just want to self-promote myself. There are some...
Shameless.
I've never seen the video. Tell us about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I just take some scenes, not movie posters, but scenes of movies that match tarot cards. And there's that great one with the dude in the Ninth Gate trying to summon Lucifer. And he's got, like, it looks like the magician's table with all four elements represented there. So that's that card. The bookstore owner hangs himself. One of his legs is bent like the hangman. You know, there's the tower is mentioned. There's like a, I don't know. I went through some. I never finished the rest. I have like a bunch of stuff that never made it into sequels to that video. But if you wanted like extra, you know, tarot ideas, I have like a ton of stuff.
Are you going to invite him into the group? Alan?
Yeah, of course. Are you doing the blog site?
Oh, if you want us.
Yeah, whoever wants. I mean, basically, the idea was to have, you know, whoever wants to do it, please, yes. Just say the word.
So, I'm looking for a thing that I found that was basically all the Crowley cards, like just basic prints of them, but it was awesome because they were so large and they were all the same throughout. It was all 78 cards. And I was like thinking it'd be a cool thing, at least for the header of each of the cards, to actually have at least like the border of the Thoth deck and just put in different movie posters, you know, for the you know, and just we could put the posters up, but it's the frame would actually be pretty cool, I think. So I'm trying to find it here in my bookmarks, but I'm not seeing it.
That could be cool. I've always kind of not like the frames on most of the tarot cards because especially even the Crowley ones almost seem like a afterthought, like with the weird kind of trumps overprinted with the name.
I feel the same way, but at least it has the signs there with it, you know?
Yeah, that's certainly something good to incorporate. I don't know if you've ever noticed there's a couple of the cards where the zodiacal sign is in the opposite placement as the Hebrew letter.
Yeah, the Lust card and Adjustment and the Emperor card and the Star are switched, one with the number and then one with the letter, I guess.
Do you know if that was intentional or?
What's that?
Do you know if that was intentional at all?
Yes, that's very, very intentional. He thought that he was making it more symmetrical in doing that. Actually, the blog that I have up right now, like the whole first part of it is a full explanation of that, what was going on there. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
So just to say, yeah, I think what I wanted to get out at the beginning here is to say, it shouldn't be just have to be posters anymore. I think we've already moved past that. And I think, you know, since there was a lot of this idea of scenes and then, you know, Doug's idea of the actors and things like that, I feel like if we just want to roll with it and see, you know, I guess as long as it's related to the a movie in some way or, I don't know, I actually put up a picture from a TV show. I went crazy. I put up... I put something from the Voltron cartoon, but I couldn't help it. Seeing the princess standing on top of her robot lion, I couldn't resist putting that in the strength section.
Gotcha.
Yeah, when it comes to this kind of thing, especially, I think it's like if you want to make God laugh, you make a plan because none of this is gonna like you can't help it, and that's not a bad thing. So
correct.
Well, maybe that. So whenever I started into the idea of like a consistent set of tarot cards based on actors, it's a fun idea to mess with until you realize that your wires start crossing and like consistency would become really difficult because depending on like where do you start and then where you start ends up influencing some of the other choices.
As far as who's like if
you're going to have a different theme depending on who your emperor is. If like Jason put Patrick Stewart as the emperor.
Somebody else did that.
Oh, it's a nice choice. Yeah. I would always go with Marlon Brando. There's no way I couldn't do him. And then because Marlon Brando is the Godfather, and then also Superman's father, then Superman ends up being the world or whoever, you know, so you end up with Superman playing a key role in there too.
Yeah.
You know, so it seems like this is why Book of Stars opened that up, where if you just invite everyone to write about archetypes, and who resonates archetypes, you end up maybe, like David was saying, by not creating a plan, you end up actually reaching the goal. Just saying, you know, casting the net out and saying, write about what represents whatever it is to you. And then perhaps that's the way you get to a consistent, I don't know.
It could be. It might be nice to have a unified voice, though, like, throughout it.
And that's the thought. The afterthought is this the project of one individual? I mean, and then the whole existential thing, you know, like, what are we doing? Are we trying to create a religion? Are we doing art?
Probably doing art. We don't have to go too grand with it, but we get that Scientology money rolling in. We'll have compounds.
Nice. We get the Scientology money rolling in.
Yeah.
At one point, the thought was that this is something that is actually a product that would sell because it would be a novelty. Part with Oprah Winfrey on it, right?
And the thing, it would help, I think this could help like a wider audience then connect to these kind of esoteric ideas that they hadn't been exposed to, but they would realize that maybe Jack Nicholson was played this devil role throughout, and they could kind of connect with that energy in that way.
Right, and that's the sync connection, where a lot of that work has been done, where people have spent so much time looking at, you know, whomever they resonate with. Like, I spent a lot of time with Keanu. A lot of people have done a lot with Jim Carrey. But, you know, if there's three fools, how do you limit that to one fool? You know, Robin Williams is a good fool. Jim Carrey's a good fool.
Yeah, and there were some cards that seemed to, like, work well, and we had, like, pretty clear options or a lot of options, and it almost speaks to kind of the collective role of the archetypes in media, is that some are a lot less present, you know? It's kind of hard to find, like, a real good high priestess consistently throughout, or even the magician.
Yeah, I have music for that one.
Yeah, that's what there definitely seemed
to be. I could think of, like, a movie high priestess.
Yeah.
But
J-Lo and
she enchants with music.
Yeah, you know, you guys with the Major Arcana, you know, like it's awesome to look at these archetypal actors. But I'm kind of excited about if we actually were to go into this, the small cards, what that would actually mean in terms of like nuances, because you're not. It's archetypal, but it's not like an archetype, you know, when it comes to those. It might be interesting to play with that. Like, are you just going to have a film, like a film for each of those cards and expressing like what they mean? Like, you want to be like Two of Discs change, you know, and then go into, I mean, what is that? Capricorn? I forget. I should know. But yeah, that feels like could be a lot of fun.
That was one thought where you could have, and so there's a Greek mythical deck where that's what they did, where they took each of the suits were kind of the tale, the whole mythical tale of like one hero, and so you could have the whole journey in the various whether it's pentacles or whatever, right? Another thought would be to have like a genre of film where you have lots of films representing They're all the same genre. So, and the thought is like, was it swords? I was thinking instead of swords, you'd have like red eyes, you know, like Hal's red eyes, and you could have all these, robot-y ego. Yeah,
that's perfect because that's intellect and that's mechanical. And the Hal red eye was, I mean, I love it. Yeah, it's great.
But swords is like an airy kind of thing.
Air.
Yeah,
or
but perhaps
like, it's air and it's intellect.
So it's like intellect removed from heart. We've got Hal's red eye. And I don't know that there are lots of little thought that I've had, but I don't know if this really has legs yet.
When I think like Ravenclaw, you have to put like Luna Lovegood in there and stuff. But I already used it for strength. So.
There certainly are like some more subtleties to it, and it could be that one card is a whole movie and another card is like a particular scene that was compelling, or one card could be a group of people, you know, to kind of give it some texture instead of just a uniform thing. And then I've been reading in this tarot encyclopedia I have about the weight deck, and it's saying, I never realized this, but with the swords, the suit of swords, that it actually is telling a story. Like, I guess the ten of swords is like a young man stealing some swords or something, and the nine of swords is the woman like weeping. She's weeping like for the death of her brother, and it kind of actually goes in a story, like a countdown story. So it might be next time you're looking at that to check that out, to see if there's some, there could be some potential of like the thought thing growing, you know, evolving into Hal at the end of it. Like Hal could be the ace of it if you started at 10 of like early thought or something like that. Does that kind of, you guys, does that make sense?
Yeah.
But then the thought, the thing that happened that I think this is a big project, if it's a project, and shelving it until there are more sync books out there and there's more people. I mean, depending on how it became, whether or not it was something where there was someone at the center with a vision assigning projects to various people, or if it just all came together in a database over the course of a year or a couple of years. You know, it seems like my attachment to this thing is dissolved again.
I thought this was
in a good or bad way.
You know how? So we climbed the Holy Mountain. It was me and Jason and Alexis and you, Justin, and Wilner, and we were so in our bodies. We came down, and there was all this sync yammering going on at the cabin. And it wasn't that I don't enjoy that. It was just that we were so in our bodies that it seemed ridiculous, and for some reason.
Earth is opposite of air, and it brought us back into the center, or more to that side of the quadrant, and then it was harder to connect with the swords, so to say.
So I thought this, setting up something like this database, was a good way of letting everyone throw their ideas into the pot, and you get to sort of see, you know, if there is, if a consensus starts to form or anything like that, instead of trying to worry about defining it for a book at the moment, just to play and explore. Like, the reason I set this up was to make a little playground where these ideas could brew, and, like, there was already some debate between Peg Carter and, you know, was challenging what Jason had put up for the lovers. And just there was some, I mean, you know, healthy debate of like, okay, well, I see it like this, you see it like this. And I think it's nice, well, the nice thing to do would be able to have a space where you have both Robin Williams and Jim Carrey and whoever else you said in the same post. And then you can kind of see where do they overlap, you know, things like that. Violator's saying he's got a perfect Jim Carrey scene. What's the scene?
Hold on, I'm going to find a screen capture of it and then drop it into the chat. Okay, well, I'll just tell you since I'm already on the screen. Well, in, you guys remember in Dumb and Dumber when he goes to the airport in the beginning, trying to give the suitcase back to the girl?
Uh-huh.
He runs out on the elevated, you know, pathway that connects
to the plane.
It's
okay, I'm a limo driver.
Yeah, and the plane's gone and he falls to the tarmac. And he falls in airplane, like, parking spot, like, 203 or something, but he falls between 2 and 3. And here's Mr., you know, the number 23 movie. He's upside down from our perspective. One leg is stretched out and one's bent at the knee. And he's kind of between two pillars drawn on the, it's all this yellow, you know, drawings on the ground for the airplane parking. And it, and his foot is, his extended foot is touching, like, the top line. So it looks like he's hanging between two sticks on another, a third stick, with one leg bent between the number 23, and his arms are out at that, you know, 60-degree angle, like in the Thoth deck, and he's holding the suitcase in one hand and maybe a ticket or something in the other hand. I forget what, but I can find the damn scene.
So he's got his wallet out because he's showing him that he's a fucking limo driver.
Yeah, yeah.
Why it's okay for him to run out on the thing. Yeah. I can't, I keep looking at Heath Ledger as the hangman and comparing him to Christian Bale, or Christian Baal, and how there's like this repeated like resonance with Christian Bale as being the hangman as well. Like, there was an advertisement for American Psycho where he's in the exact same pose, you know, where he's got like his legs in a four and his arms spread out because he's stretching on the floor. And they made like a poster out of that. When I first saw that, I was like, whoa, that's like the hangman pose. And then I was considering that he's Batman, and Batman, like, bats hang upside down. Like, it's what bats do. Like, you hang out in the bat cave, you're basically a hangman, you know? But then it's like, you know, Keith Ledger, like, dies in Dr. Parnassus, as obviously the hangman. Like, they show the hangman card, like, they're like emphasizing his hangman. Plus, it's weird that Christian Bale and the Machinist, the whole movie centers around a hangman game on his refrigerator. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I posted your nice little graphic where you put all this together.
It's a fucking trip, but it's interesting that they both simultaneously resonate and go back and forth between that and then The Fool. So it's like, you don't know which is
it's
which.
It's like this Christ and Antichrist battling it out.
Yeah.
And they're just one. Yeah, they're just two sides of the same coin. In the Dark Knight movie, at the end, the Batman is actually the Heath Ledger Joker is hanging over the edge with the rope around his one leg, and Batman's basically holding on to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So did you guys see the new Batman? Anybody?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was alright. I thought it was kinda boring.
I don't know. So because of all the things that happened, I felt like it was kind of tainted.
Yeah, that definitely.
It was tainted, but it was a
every
great
time someone
fucking
walk
movie.
Out the fucking exit or in the exit, it's freaking me out. But it was interesting.
We had a
safe at home and watched a cam. So
we had a crazy lady in our movie theater. There was like some action sequence going on, and I was hearing like this noise that sounded like a movie from an adjacent theater, because it was like whoa, 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 whoa. And then I was walking out to go to the lobby to use the bathroom, and I was walking back in. This lady sitting there like talking on her phone during the movie, like really loud, like yelling. And me and Molly kind of flipped out on her. We were like, "You need to get off your fucking phone! Like, what are you doing?"
Oh yeah.
So there was some bad juju surrounding that movie, but
okay. I just thought of something: the leap of faith in the film that he has to make to get out of the prison. That fits really well with The Fool in the first place. If you in like in terms of like the writer deck, like he's about to walk off the cliff, you know. But I don't know. It's like he's oblivious, but at the same time, it's showing like the energetic that's needed in order to take a leap of faith, one of just expectation that you're going to reach the other side. You know, like that.
Right.
Knowing.
It's obviously paralleling Inception again with the leap of faith.
Or what about the Indiana Jones one to get the Grail?
Yes, that too.
Yeah,
that would be
Which
a big one for me.
Okay. Yeah. River Phoenix at the beginning in Zion National Park. That's a good one.
Well, so Doug, what you were saying like about the hike thing was that going on the hike burned you out in regard to ownership of this project or are you there, Doug?
I'm here.
It's me, God.
I've been in room 237 since the hike.
Well,
okay. Wait. I need to interrupt you there. I need to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I was kind of didn't know how to tell anybody this. 2 weeks ago, I was visiting my friend for his birthday. So I went this like he lives but there's no subway. I had to like take a train to a bus. And I'm walking from the train station to where I pick up the bus stop, and laying in the middle of the sidewalk is this red room key, number 217, which of course it is in the book. In the novel, it's 217, not room 237. So laying in the middle of the fucking sidewalk is this red room 217.
And it's red. Was the room written small?
And I was sitting there and I just start laughing and I'm like, I'm like, should I pick it up? Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? I was like, what the fuck? I was like, if I pick this up, is this bad juju? You know, what is this? And then I was like, I decided later that I think it's actually, I was like, well, if you have the key, then you can get out.
No, you can get in. You can't get out with the key.
Yeah.
So, Doug, you don't... Doug, I was actually going to mail it to you. I thought you deserved it more than I did. But if you don't, if you think it's the way in, not the way out, I don't want to send it to you.
It's funny because I was going to... I have small feet. So I don't... I can't find shoes. I have some socks that I need to send to San Francisco.
We got big feet out here, so those sambas aren't going to fit.
I'm out of my big boy shoes and into man shoes, finally. I found a place that stocks man shoes my size.
What is man shoe? Like boots or just shoes in men's sizes?
Shoes in men's sizes.
Okay.
Fu man shoe. So Alan, what shape was the tag that it said 217 on? Or did it have like a keychain?
It's kind of diamond shaped.
That's weird. I was kind of thinking that for some reason.
Did it have blood on it?
No. But it will soon, of course.
Well, the thing that might have disenchanted Doug is when we got to the top of the Holy Mountain that was covered in flying fire ants. So the state...
Here's the symbolism, Justin. You were standing on top of the rock and you're holding all the water inside your backpack and you wouldn't get down off the rock in order for us to drink the water. So we had to dethrone you and then put Alexis in your place.
Well, I brought all the water, so...
Yeah, I mean, eventually you capitulated, but for a while there, you were being the devil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not that it's gonna say.
I wanted to stay up there for a little while, but we had to hustle on down. You couldn't handle the fire ants.
Yeah, we took a long time to get up there, and then we just kind of left immediately.
Yeah, they were like...
It's the journey, not the destination.
Right, then you just come up with all you saw, and you have to go back and teach the others what you saw up the top of the mountain.
Well, then it all... Wasn't that adjacent valley burning weeks later?
Everything caught on fire after you guys left. Hmm. I mean... Yeah.
Really?
Pretty much. And
the area? Wow.
Not the explicit area where we were at, but because I live in kind of a bowl here. We've had some smoky days. It was like being in the campfire. You open your windows and, you know, you have the red sun of Mars out there because of all the red shifting going on from as the sun setting or Tatooine, something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was weird. We went to Crescent Lake over our birthdays and on the way back, everything was on fire up there too. So.
But then this is like a normal part of nature, and yeah. It's like healthy for the forest to burn. And one of the things that's gone on is that we put the little fires out, and then the fuels build and build, and then we have these gigantic fires that you can't put out that burn and burn and burn and burn.
That's why the airing of grievances is so important.
Festivus.
If there's no airing of grievances, then the fires will be big.
Oh,
no,
like
but
the
so
wolves,
you
man.
Guys probably I'm too thinky and too feely, as Jason said. But
that was a joke. I'm sorry. No, that was a bad joke. I had too much coffee. Not enough wine.
So every now and again, I wonder
about what we're doing and why and think, are we nuts? Are we totally nuts? And then,
probably,
so
probably.
We're saying the thing that people don't need to say. They go to the movie, they experience the archetype, it communicates to them on a subconscious level, say, and they get what they need, but they don't need to understand the archetype. They don't have to translate that from the right brain to the left brain.
They go to McDonald's, they get the Big Mac, earn well a bit. Yeah, the Big Mac, yes. And that's enough.
Well, if you're not conscious and aware of the archetypes, then they end up possessing you. It's important to have like a good containment, because when you're not aware of them, then they... That was kind of a... I was listening to this King Warrior Magician thing. There's like a series of like hundreds of hours of lectures, and he was talking about the warrior archetype, and he was using the example. He was like, well, there's some... And this was recorded in the 80s. He's like, you know, some kid picks up an AK and goes to the schoolyard, and for a couple moments he's being very brave and acting out this warrior archetype, and then afterwards it leaves him once that energy has like expressed itself out into the world, and then he's just sitting there kind of dumbfounded about what just happened. I think you see that same thing playing itself out in that most recent Batman movie, is that kid was this alienated kid. You know, he was looking for help or trying to get help, and he wasn't aware of proper ways of like containing energy, and so then he wanted to act out the warrior thing, and that was even like I don't think he was some mastermind like conspiracy plan to disarm America. I think it was just like a troubled kid, and that the something about the Batman movie provided like appropriate like Velcro for his expression of that energy, and then once it was over, then he's just kind of looking there, sitting there looking silly afterwards, you know, like, oh, what happened? You know, this powerful energy has left me. Now I'm just some dipshit kid sitting in court.
The Velcro comment is perfect.
Yeah, that you need, and that's what we all do on some level, is that we attract certain people in our lives who, if you're looking for a fight, you're going to find a fight. Or if you're looking for some sort of interaction, you know, if you're looking for a father figure, you're going to gravitate towards something. I think that's where you see all the father symbolism. Election stuff. I think large part you could judge who people are going to vote for by if their father was more like Obama or Romney. You know?
Oh no.
Does anyone here have a father like Obama or Romney?
Well, who is like?
I think I have to disconnect you from the call if you do. No.
But people gravitate. If you're more Republican, that's kind of how your dad is. Like, that's what with Ronald Reagan, even though he was an imbecile on all levels, like he held that father archetype really well for the conservative type people. Like he was their king of sorts. And that's their whole thing. They're dads, so don't question my authority, and they act out, they hold like the Velcro for that projection of like the masses on a personal level too.
Yeah, I think they have to have, like, they have to be on that. Like, that's not just, like, a mistake. It seems like they play on that a lot, you know, what it is that we're looking for. Like, basically, our country is our mother, you know. It's, and it's like, I don't know, I can definitely see how it's not, like, doesn't necessarily just happen on its own completely, you know.
Yeah. So
it does to a degree, but yeah.
It's like the country's going out looking for some like the best rapist to fuck your mother.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Oh, I just pulled it. I went there, man. Really?
Can you say that again? I don't know if I heard you the first time.
It's that key. He's holding that key on the other side of the Skype call. He's clutching it until his hands are bleeding.
No, but it's true. I don't think there's ever been someone up there that is a good choice of someone to be the caretaker. Speaking of The Shining, the only caretakers we end up with are the Jack Torrance sort of caretaker. You know, who's going to kill for us?
It's only the people that the heads of the Gold Room are like down with. Like, they don't get the opportunity to be the caretaker unless they're pre-approved by all the hierarchy of the Gold Room. Huh. Ask me.
Does the gold room still apply to the architecture of our reality right now? I mean, I think the whole thing about The Shining is that this is a report on what was. I mean, it's over. That's the only reason why he reported it. It's a dead architecture. It's
totally.
It's, we are so far beyond the gold room, but in order to progress to an understanding of where we are now, at least we need to comprehend the secrets that are, I mean, that's a little schizo and everything, but we need to process the gold room. We have to tackle the messages. God damn it, I hate the way this sounds, but that movie is sort of like, this is the architecture, this is the plan that we just exited. But we can tell it to you now because it's dead. And that's right. Really kind of like the whole safety of progressive literature or media, is that we can build it for you now in simulacrum because it's dead. If it was still going on, we couldn't say it. Is that too out there? Or, I mean...
I see this whole thing is esoteric process that it has very... It touches on points that have to do with the history of America, but that's not the main focus of it. It's sort of intertwining with this sort of esoteric process, so I don't know. I it's kind of like the empire never ends. I don't know. I mean, party's always going on back in 1921.
Yes, it is. It's happening right now. It's right next door to us, but it's a dead room, man.
It's a dead man's party.
Dead man's party, for sure.
Don't run away. It's only me.
You walk in and you walk out with avocado on your jacket. You know, it's not what you signed up for.
Come play with us, William, forever and ever and ever.
And fuck
okay.
That.
Well, you've invoked 9/11 in my head.
I know. I was just about to say it. Totally. Thank you. The twins.
And for some reason this year I haven't... It's bizarre how this whole community and movement of whatever it is that we do kind of has its inception, or like that is the initiation date of so many of us. Like that's when we started down our rabbit holes right there. That was the nexus point.
Is it?
But it was. I mean, so everything else is, I mean, that was the initial portal.
Yeah, you're right.
I would agree with that for myself.
But the kind of hidden part of it is that was when the web was really catching on, like this type of connecting of all these dots. There's something inherent about the web structure of the internet that allows you then to connect dots laterally more so than
as Skynet goes online,
just linearly.
Right, because AM radio had been going for years, and I listened to Art Bell, and I liked the X-Files, and it was all it was a fun mystery to play with, but it didn't become. I mean, like, full initiation happened with the internet and individual research.
No doubt. 100%, I completely agree with that.
But what's strange is this year, you know, I've always been really conscious of that date, like the number and syncing on the number and seeing the number, and this year just kind of came. And I recognized that people were thinking about it, but I myself hadn't. Like, that's one of the things in the past where I would plan to kind of do some kind of post on, like, because it was a significant date within this. I mean, and we put the book out on the day, too.
You know, I've been feeling that in general with, like, a lot of my rituals this year in particular. Like, I mean, Burning Man is one example where, like, I do this whole prep thing. I'm thinking about it, whatever. It was like, all of a sudden, I was there. It was like, even in the process of getting ready, it wasn't like, there's less and less ideas around the thing and more just, like, being with the thing. this year more than ever. It's been crazy like that. And so, like, today, I'm like, 9/11, I recognize the numerology. I resonate to a degree with my understanding of how I relate to the thing. But it's like, I'm not thinking about things beforehand. I'm not tripping on my trips. I'm just tripping, if that makes sense.
So you're more in sync, possibly. Like, you're actually in the flow. You're not thinking about it, like trying to intellectualize it. You're just being.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm intellectualizing to a crazy degree. It's just I'm keeping that in its place, I guess. Like, I see that for what that is, and I'm not putting it beyond itself. Which I feel like I'm relating to a lot of people who seem to be doing the same thing regularly. It's crazy.
Well, I can't believe that we're only, you know, less than 3 months away from the date that Terrence McKenna wrote about in, what was it, 1978, where he synced up with the Mayan calendar. So for me, you know, I read about 2012, December 21st in 95, and lived with that kind of algorithm of reality, that this is what we were all spiraling towards, so that when 9/11 2001 happened, it would just seem like a catalyst. It just seemed like a corner kick in the whole game. 9/11 right now to me means less than it ever did, because I think that for me, the thread count that is our circle is so insane that a memory of a tragedy that happened 10 years ago, the fact that that seems to be so muted for me. Now, granted, I'm, 1,500 miles away from ground zero. I didn't lose anybody that I know. I didn't live through it. I lived through it in secondhand media. I lived through it in mythology and synchromistic extrapolation. I wasn't there. It's in the same category as Pearl Harbor for me, or the incident on a show like Lost.
Did you watch it while it happened?
I watched it, and I was, I was, 2 miles away from O'Hare Airport, and they said that the next wave of attacks was going to be, Chicago in our airport, and, we had to deal with it, but we had an old school boss who made us stay in our cubicles at our office space, and we watched it on a 5-inch black and white TV. I mean, it's all complicated. It's all... twisted.
Well, if we're successful with all our sync book gospels in 2,000 years, people will be walking around with twin towers on chains on their necks and going to temples.
I think that would just be reviving the old religion of the high priestess there.
The whole Bill Hicks, Jackie O bit? No, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Jackie, just remembering John.
Just remembering
just
John.
Remembering John.
Well, I think one thing... it did lend itself to research and kind of the rabbit-holing research on the internet. It also, I think, literally was a synchronizing event. Like, I don't know the exact numbers, but I suspect it's one of the things that might have been, like, one of the most viewed things ever on the planet,
100% agree.
Yeah, so there is that synchronizing aspect of it.
And from the angle that we take it at is, if you focus that many minds on one event, so you're taking that collective consciousness and focusing it on a single event, then you've amplified the power of whatever it is. It's like, it's the fucking Care Bear stare, but turned into
Care Bear Stairway to Heaven.
So then I think there is some legitimacy in exploring the trickling back through time of that event. Like that, to some extent, that is or could be a reason why we find it in pop culture. I think the more logical explanation would be, if you have two giant tall buildings, they're incredibly symbolic. And if you call them the World Trade Center, like it's the center of the world, I think there's reason that in pop culture, stuff like that you would show them destroyed. But some of the coincidences, like I had reposted that Supertramp album cover, and that one is just too too crazy.
Too much.
To be just a coincidence, you know? So I think that one in itself, like, provides some validity to the idea of art as an exploration of the future. Perhaps.
Yeah, totally. Looking at the towers themselves as, like, America's Mecca, basically, that's, like, you know, our Kaabah, you know, to relate it to Solomon's Temple, which has been done as the two pillars of Solomon's Temple, is really far out when you consider, like, in the New Testament, when Jesus turns over the money tables and gets super pissed and is like, fuck you to everybody. Basically the time where Jesus gets the most angry is around us turning the religious center into a place of trade. So, and literally, like, bringing about destruction. Expressing that around that.
So you're saying Bin Laden is Jesus?
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's an interesting parallel, you know?
No, I think
that came up.
For sure.
And that was really heavy.
Well, yeah. It wasn't heavy for. Sorry.
Well, kind of. I mean, depending on if you realize that we just killed Jesus, that's pretty heavy.
Well, yeah, then you
can't
say it.
I'm saying,
once you're a nut.
Well, the problem, as I see it, and I think, like, this ties back into the.
I'm laughing at Dave's laughing because.
This ties back into your question about, is it a good thing to make this and make people more aware of these archetypes? And I would say it is, because there's kind of just been one war all through human history. You know, there's been one struggle all through human history. There's been this one kind of psychological archetypal event playing itself out throughout history over and over and over. And we seem, you know, it's pretty much these archetypal things were all spelled out in the Bible, you know, and then it's spelled out in the Quran, and then it's spelled out in Shakespeare, and it's spelled out
right in
movies now with Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber, you know, like it's. This same kind of process playing itself.
So wait, Justin, are you saying that Osama bin Laden is Dumb and Dumber? That's heavy.
No, I thought it was George Bush and Osama or something. But
wait, so because
George
I know...
Bush was the fool, right? So
well, they get
Jim
like
Carrey,
I'm
right?
With
Saddam's the hanged man.
Oh wait a minute, Osama is fucking Jeff Daniels. That's weird. Okay.
Well, you get the Cain and Abel story of, like, these two brothers killing...
Well, that's the Obama-Osama thing, where they're doppelgangers.
Right.
Yeah, well, one kills the other one.
And then Obama became the new fool after George Bush was dethroned. So, you see, it still works.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the Cain and Abel story was just a telling of when nomadic tribes were kind of encountering... tribes that were beginning agriculture in the same region of the world and killing each other.
Right.
Yeah. Another version of the twins. Fight. It's another version of the twins.
Yeah.
The siblings. You know,
it's
actually interesting for me is like I've had obviously like living here my whole life, I've had run-ins with the World Trade Center. It's where my prom was. very first-hand accounts with all this stuff. But it's interesting is where I'm living now, I have...
Who was the band at the prom?
There was no band. There was a
DJ?
A DJ. Oh, and it was the worst... The only... You know, all right, here's the thing I can give you.
What year was your prom, Alan?
1998. So I can tell you this. I only recognize two songs that they played that night.
Supertramp.
Most of it was like rap or like club music. But there was some song, which I don't even know who sings it, but I know I've heard it before, which is like, I might as well be walking on the sun or something like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth.
Yes.
It's horrid, fucking horrible. But I can tell you, Walking on the Sun, and the other song I remember them playing was Hotel California.
Of course.
Right? No, you didn't enjoy that. So where I am, so where I'm living now is I'm living in Queens, and I have this like weird thing where I have no sense of like compass directions in this apartment. We've lived here for like 3 years, 4 years now, and it's like I have no sense of where is north from this apartment. Like, I'm completely weird. I have, like, no sense of direction here. Like, I could tell you where to get anywhere, but I don't have no sense of when I'm actually in my apartment, where is north, whatever. And just tonight, as I was walking to pick up my wife from the subway, I see these giant spotlight off in the distance. I'm like, what the hell is that? And like, oh, of course, it's September 11th. So it's like the lights, you know, what they put these two beams of light into the sky where the towers were. And I was like, oh, okay, so now I have a frame of reference of where downtown Manhattan is. And it was sort of interesting is that I was able to use that as a compass, which is sort of how I've come to view synchronicity, as something to give you a sort of direct, a sense of direction in this otherwise unwieldy or uncharted landscape.
Wow. They're two, like, bat signals?
Yeah, basically.
Wow. I didn't know they did that. It's like, that's like Lucifer, you know? That's weird.
Yeah, and they're blue. There's these two blue... This is why I go to the thing of, like, I mean, I don't mean to take it in, like, the quote-unquote alien invasion thing of blue beam, but they are literally two blue beams. You have, like, the Norway spiral and all that sort of stuff. If you put a picture of the Norway spiral next to the Twin Tower lights, they look, it's like the same color blue.
Huh.
It's pretty obvious, Alan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's pretty goddamn obvious. Hey, am I alone on this or what?
Hey, didn't you sign one of your blogs, Captain Obvious? Wasn't that like at the end? You like titled it Captain Obvious?
I think I might have.
That was pretty good.
Come out and say it, Bill. What is it?
It's a reptilian invasion, brother. And you better fucking beware.
David Icke and Tina Turner would probably agree with you on that.
And Tina's the worst of the bunch. That's the thing that kills me.
Oh no.
America, keep on rolling.
So we watched Clueless last night. Because you had mentioned it, and we were talking about basically the you know, the value of the story, like in terms of, like you said, it was an extra long movie, right? And it's Emma or whatever. It's like subtextually this book that's like a literary classic or whatever. But I didn't
it's also
really.
Back to the movie.
Yeah, there was some sync in there with her fucking phone when her phone becomes the monolith, and they play the Thus Spake Zarathustra. And like shortly before that, the guy who she ends up with is sitting there reading Nietzsche, which is like obviously Thus Spake Zarathustra. It's probably in the Nietzsche collection that he's reading too. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting, but there's another Kubrick reference in there too with Spartacus. They're sitting there watching Spartacus. Anyways, whatever. I don't know.
Doesn't the girl from Clueless go on to play Batgirl?
Yeah,
Alicia Silverstone played Batgirl. That's right, she did.
I just fucking said that, man.
I didn't hear you just fucking say that.
No, I'm sorry. Totally I'm behind you. I can't. I don't think I can hear me from back here. That's a good point.
That is no. I'm glad you told us, Jason. That is a very excellent point. I didn't hear you say it, but I'm glad you put it out there.
Huh.
I'll be quiet now.
No, tell us about Clueless.
She's also in Meet the Applegates, right? Which is about a bunch of, like, oh, it's bugs. It's bugs that are dressed as people that move into the neighborhood or something. I forget. You know what I'm talking about?
Did anyone ever see that movie Bug with the Judd girl? Ashley
Bug?
Judd, I think it is.
The old movie Bug.
Yeah, but it was called, like, the Mothman Prophecies or something, wasn't it?
You mean the ones where they crawl into the exhaust pipe and blow up the cars? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's like it's the Jug girl in the hotel room, and her and her boyfriend get all freaked out, and they put the foil over the windows, and they're convinced that the bugs are eating them and shit. No one?
No.
Bug, it's awesome. Check it out.
It sounds great.
Oh, it is great. Really? No one? Bug. It was a hit.
Considering the
huge
amount of movies I've seen, I can't believe.
Oh, no. I'm getting confused with Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I was thinking that Meet the Applegates was the same, but it's probably just because I watched them around the same time. Never mind. All right. I don't know if that's going anywhere. I just felt like mentioning that I watched Clueless.
Well done, sir.
Give me some Violator or some Alexis in this conversation. I haven't heard you guys speak.
Go ahead, Alexis.
She's muted her mic and doing her dishes.
I'm here.
Bug, it was a William Friedkin movie. The guy who did Exorcist. Come on, man.
I remember the trailer.
This is essential, man. Essential.
Wait,
this
is
the key to discovering the real meaning of 2012.
Yes, yes. It's the portal.
Who's the guy who did Exorcist? Well, I missed something.
The Friedkin kid.
The kid in Exorcist? The girl? Shit.
Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan was an exorcist? God,
yeah. Isn't the little girl's name in Exorcist
yes.
Reagan?
Yeah.
I was assumed that was a very intentional commentary or I don't know what.
I think so.
So what? Max von Sydow's in Exorcist? I had no idea. He's like one of my favorite actors. I haven't seen it in so long. Although it was my Facebook post today, was No More Playing in the Attic with Captain Howdy. It just occurred to me, Captain Howdy, and for whatever reason, I made an agreement with myself that I'd stop playing with him in the attic.
There we go, man.
Is this Twisted Sister Captain Howdy?
Captain Howdy is the devil. Captain Howdy is like the fucking crazy being she's playing with in the attic who ends up possessing her, which she has to get exorcised from her. He tells her his name is Captain Howdy. I thought that was so fucking spooky.
It's the demon Pazuzu. In case you guys were wondering, Demon of the West Wind in Sumeria. I don't know, I'll just throw that out there. But
Pazuzu.
Zephyr? Zephyr is the West Wind. I just found that out the other day. Which I thought was interesting in terms of, like, Zephyr makes me think of Zeppelin, and then Stairway to Heaven with the Care Bear Stairway to Heaven.